Ladies and gentlemen, we are live. This is the moment turtles around the world have been waiting for. Introducing first, in the red corner, he is a judge, weighing in the broken dreams of a Tron player, Nyxia, Value Turtle Terratron. And in the blue corner, a mixed magic artist, weighing in nothing but hot air and illusions of grandeur, Igor, Reanimator Mishra.
Greetings and salutations, as every week, this is Igor, and I have cars passing me by, that's wonderful. And Nyxia sadly couldn't come because he's a little bastard that has to take a vacation, But since I didn't want to this week to pass without an episode because we have a bunch of spoilers, I brought a guest host. Guest host, who the hell are you?
I am Ormondahl J. Simpson, a.k.a. the artist formerly known as Profane Prince, a.k.a. Joe. So what's going on, everybody?
Yeah, so Mr. Ormondahl, what is your opinion of the situation on Innistrad?
The situation is I wish I was back in the Hell Vault right now because things are getting a little crazy.
Hide your kids, hide your wife, because they're tentacling everybody out there.
You ain't kidding, brother.
So basically, Joe has been following us for way too long, poor man, so we decided to bring him on.
From the beginning.
Wow, poor man.
From the beginning. I heard Stefan last week. I'm like, all right, we got two lifers.
Cool.
We are the OG of the Dragon Dirtle listeners.
OG crew.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you've been following us for a while, and why not get you, and you seem like a cool guy. So.
Thanks, man, and it's cool to be on here. Very cool to be joining you.
So, as usual, it's the Commander of the Week time. You start first with your really sick creation.
Okay, I am playing Scion of the Ur-Dragon, which, for those of you that don't know what it does, it costs all five colors. It is a 5/5, and then for two, you can basically search your library for a dragon, put it into the graveyard, and then it becomes a copy of that dragon. So basically, you get to play whatever dragons you want. In the spirit of the name of this podcast, it's a lot of elder dragons and dirtling around. But no, it's really cool. Nothing but good things to say about it. It's a good time and a pretty good deck. You know, if you like bringing things back from the graveyard, if you like dragons, it does everything you want. So
I mean, Sion always had a place in my heart because he's so unusual as a general. He does something really special.
Yeah, I mean, he does something very different.
Unique. It's not just I'm going to beat your face and that's it, like Rafik of the Menu or something like that.
Right.
He can do many different things. He often does just one or two that everybody does, but he often does different things.
Right. I mean, one of my favorite things to do with him is Wreath the Awakener, which he puts tokens into play and, you know, just especially in a format where you're just facing all kinds of colors, he just poops out tokens like crazy. So there's all kinds of cool stuff you could do with the deck.
I always like Croesus the most of all those dragons.
Yes.
No more hand.
Yes.
I mean, almost.
And yeah, exactly. And big fan of probably not the best thing to do with it, but I loved the cycle of the Elder Dragons from Dragons of Tarkir.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
Just getting to play all of them in an EDH deck is sweet.
I mean
we were talking before cast. I mean, you slam down a Tarka and it's like, well, GG.
Commander damage is finally gone.
Commander damage is a thing.
Yep.
It is a very big thing, especially when a Tarka is involved.
Since I play against Prosh all the time, I know how much commander damage is.
Yes,
especially with the stupid doubling season and a Tarka and things like that. It's not fun. It's not fun at all.
No.
But yeah, your deck sounds like a lot of fun. My girlfriend would love it. I would hate to play against it, but then I would kill all their stuff all the time because that's what I have to do.
Yes, well, someone needs to.
Speaking of, my commander is again the same that's been for the last like month or two, Alesha, but this week's excuse is because I made actually a deck for CMDR deck, the channel on YouTube.
Yep.
I made a deck for that because he was like, yeah, why not? I all need decks all the time. And it was really fun making the thing.
Cool. And also, if you guys haven't checked out Igor's Primer yet, super in-depth, so he's got resources. There's quite a bit of content about Alesha that Igor has put out at this point.
Yeah, and if anybody has any questions about the deck, you just put the question on the Tapped Out or contact me any way you want to. There's a lot of contact info. I'll be sure to get you in like a couple of hours.
There you go.
So yeah.
The man is accessible.
The man doesn't have a life. All right, let's do some spoilers. And since you're the guest here, you get to choose which spoiler do you want to talk first.
Oh my gosh, so many good ones. Maybe we should start with one of the weirder ones, Gisela the Broken Blade. So Gisela is 2 generic, 2 white, for a 4/3 Angel Horror, flying, first strike, lifelink, and at the beginning of your end step, if you both own and control Gisela the Broken Blade and a creature named Bruna the Fading Light, exile them, then meld them into Brizella, Voice of Nightmares. So, I don't know. Do we read Bruna too?
Yep, you kind of have to. They're coming in a package.
They are a team. So then there's also Bruna, the Fading Light, 5 generic, 2 white for a 5/7 Angel Horror. And when you cast her, you may return target angel or human creature card from your graveyard to the battlefield, flying, vigilance, and then like we said, she melds with Gisela.
She melds into that monstrosity.
Brizella. This crazy... I'm pretty sure I've had nightmares with this thing.
I mean, nightmare, erotic dream, whatever you choose.
Listen, man, that was private. I told you that in confidence.
I was talking about myself.
Oh.
And what does Brizella actually do?
Okay, so I guess the way this works is... on the other side of their cards, it's like a flip card, but there's going to be 2 halves. And when you meld them together, they become Brizella, Voice of Nightmares. It's a 9/10 Eldrazi Angel with flying, first strike, vigilance, lifelink. Your opponents can't cast spells with converted mana costs 3 or less.
You know what do you combine that with?
Tell me.
Garak Teeg.
Ah, dude.
No, just no.
Well...
You're not casting things.
Hope you had fun playing this game, because it's over.
Because Garak Teeg wasn't a huge kick in the nuts before.
Right, exactly. Honestly, wow, yeah, holy smokes.
But yeah, Gisela all on herself, she looks good just on herself.
Yeah, she's... I think as a whole, she's the better of the two. I feel like for Commander, Bruna might be better. Only because you can do... more with her in terms of, like, bringing back an angel or bringing back a human. But, I mean, if you just take Gisela at face value, a 4/3 flying first strike lifelink.
And you just put equipment on her and that's it.
Yeah, exactly. And then just
and go
smash
tower.
Face. Yeah, exactly.
And you put Bruna in the deck because even when they're molden, they actually still do commander damage.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
When I read a tweet from Matt Tabak... that they still do commander damage, I was like, what?
Yeah,
what?
It's great that they need to actually take the time to think about this kind of stuff now,
yeah.
Too. Like, you know, they kind of have to consider this stuff for commander.
I mean, commander is the big money grab for them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like these two cards, even though they're weird and disgusting and what the hell, but...
You know what?
Yeah.
This is magic. That's what it's all about.
You know what I like the most about them? The
Tell
names.
Me. Yes.
Because Gisela was the Blade of Gold Knight, now she's the Broken Blade. And
yes.
Bruna was the... What was she? Light Alabaster. She was Light Alabaster, I think.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes.
Now she's just the Fading Light.
Yeah, no, definitely flavor win across the board here. Well done, Wizards.
Yeah, I don't know how much will they actually impact EDH, but I like them.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, again, I think, you know, if you have them in the 99... you know, we'll see how much you're going to be melding them together, but especially if you're putting one as a commander, it should lead to some good times.
All on themselves are actually good in 99.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I guess what I was saying was I don't know how much you'll get to
meld it.
See them at the, yeah, to meld them, but yeah, they're both fantastic. I mean, they slide into so
them,
many different builds.
When you do meld them, oh my god, it'll
I would be remiss if I did not point out that head-to-head in combat, they take down Ormondal. Oh, no, they don't take down Ormondal.
Nope.
Nope. Psych. Indestructible.
Too big.
My bad.
But, yeah. Well, I was going to say something really witty, but then I forgot it. Oh, well.
It'll come back to you.
I was going to say, on the backside, when they do, you have to pair to exile them immediately, but no. You kind of can't, because of the whole not casting spells with three or less.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, it's going to lock out, actually, most removal, because think about what almost all of the removal that someone will be playing would be, you know, probably on the top end three. Yeah. So
guess ratting is a thing.
True. And yeah, really, if you want to handle this, you need some kind of board wipe.
Yeah, either that or play those really bad limited kill spells.
Right.
Like 5 mana kill a dude. That'll teach him to play good cards.
That'll show him.
Okay, all right, Igor. Let's move on to the next legendary, I think.
Yes.
Jiza and Jarov, finally they're together. Aw. For 2 and blue and a black, they're 4/4, so they pass the vanilla test.
Yes.
Legendary creature, human wizard. But they're not human wizard, they're human wizards. But alright. When Jiza and Jarov enter the battlefield, put the top 4 cards of your library into graveyard, which goes well with Delirium, I guess.
True.
And during each of your turns, you may cast the zombie creature card from your graveyard. I guess the deck just builds itself around them.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of easy to build around. I mean, that. What I also...
Go ahead.
Thank you, sir. No, I mean, it slides right into Cedrus or Grimgrin if you're doing that kind of thing.
You have to put Grimgrin because flavor win.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I don't know, it's such a good build around. There's all kinds of stuff you could do with this.
You know what's said about this card? It's so good, but it's too straightforward. You can't talk too much about it.
No, yeah, that's true. I mean, you know what this card is going to do?
Yeah.
Just right from there.
It's like having a leech, but only for zombies, kind of.
True. Also, shouldn't be discounted that it is a human and it is a wizard.
Yeah.
It's obviously going to be more in a zombie tribal of some kind, but human and wizard, especially in standard now at least, are becoming relevant types. Mm-hmm. Not so much wizard, but
wizard
more in EDH.
Wizard, we'll see a couple of spoilers for that, actually, down below.
Yes. Oh, yeah, actually, very good point. We'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there. So what's next on the docket?
Should we skip right down there, or should we keep going down the line, Igor?
Oh, you choose.
With my simple mind, we're better off just going down the line. So, Tree of Perdition. 3 generic, 1 black for a 0/13 plant. Defender. You tap it and exchange target opponent's life total with Tree of Perdition's toughness.
This does so much. Unlike Tree of Redemption from the original Innistrad, this is actually really good.
You know what I love about this, Igor? It's what it actually does is so little, but it just does so much.
Yeah. I mean, I would gladly pay 4 mana to strip somebody to 27 life.
Yes. We were talking about before how they are obviously designing with Commander in mind. Yep. I think they forgot that Commander was a format when they made this.
This isn't that, but you have to sit a turn on it before you can actually do the thing.
That's true. That is true, and by then, with a bunch of people looking at that, someone's going to try and do something about
it. But you know what's also a card? V2 Ildal. The guy who changes target creature's power or toughness to 1.
Oh my god.
You just do that to a lot of player and you're like, come on guys, go at him. You have 0/256 tree and they have 1 life.
So much for that.
Yep. I mean, I like this card just because it's a huge kick in the nuts for Aloro and screw Aloro, so.
Yeah, I mean, that's always a win. One thing about this card is you're pretty much going to play this and you're going to be just like, everyone, attack me, please.
Yep.
Come on.
Something like that.
It's just like a big target on your head, but yeah.
But you play it with a reason, and if you can put haste in it, even better.
Even better, yeah, which...
Actually, that wouldn't be too bad in some kind of group slug deck like Kervak the Merciless.
Yeah.
Yeah, Black Red
really?
Yeah.
The sweet thing about this is you can slide it into just about anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the effect is just so powerful. Any deck that's playing black, I feel like you're going to want to play it.
I don't know. I wouldn't want it. Actually, I would want it in Alesha because it's just stupid attacking with a huge tree that has defender.
True. It is just such a powerful effect, though.
Yeah, it's begging for removal.
But, yeah.
Which is good, because your other actual cards that can do actually something the turn they come into play will be spared from removal.
Right, yeah, no, that's very true. It's, you know, I was saying it puts a target on your head. It puts a target on its own head, too, yeah. Which is good. I mean, you know, if you're either going to get the most out of this, or they're just going to piss away their removal on it, so...
Which is good.
You know, either way, yeah, it's a kind of a win-win for you.
Mm-hmm. I think we talked everything we can about this. Yep. I only said it isn't a... Actually, I know it isn't a tree folk, it's actually a plant. I was going to say, why isn't it a tree folk, but it's not actually moving, so...
No. If only.
Let's move to a bit more of a card.
Okay.
Sanctifier of Souls.
Yep.
Whenever he's a human cleric for 3 and white, 2/3. Whenever another creature enters the battlefield under your control, he gets +1/+1 until the end of turn. And for 3 and a new exile creature card from your graveyard, put a 1/1 white spirit creature token with flying onto the battlefield. Woohoo. Basically limited filler.
Yeah.
He's good and limited.
He'll be great in limited. I don't remember. There was something that did something in Shadows that did.
Yeah,
something
that was
similar to this. Yeah, this is obviously an upgrade from that, but to be honest, nothing to write home about.
Yeah. Next card is actually a bit more.
Yes. Nibelous of Frost. Did I say that right? Nibelous?
Yeah.
Like you're nibbling on something?
Yeah.
We'll go with it. Two generic, two blue, for a spirit, 3/3, flying, prowess, spicy. Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, tap target creature an opponent controls. That creature doesn't untap during its controller's next untap step.
So Mizzix?
Doesn't sound too bad.
Yeah, you need some creatures in Mizzix, and why not?
Yeah, exactly.
You might as well be doing your X spell stuff while tapping things down, so you can actually be safe.
Yeah, this card does everything that you want in that deck.
Yeah, Spellslinger deck
style. You know, right, yeah.
Plus, Prowess is nice in it.
Prowess has proved to be a great mechanic, especially with how it interacts with that third ability.
Yeah.
I mean, just so good. Very, very smooth card.
You know what deck might actually like this? Shuyun.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, because it has evasion in itself, so Double Strike is actually really good.
Yep, and, you know, you're pumping him all the time.
Yep.
So, really, every time you pump him, it's almost like the pump is counting double, too, so...
Yeah, you pump both of them because they both have prowess. You tap down the dudes that would block Shuyun, and this guy just swings in the air for like 18.
Yep.
I kind of actually like the sound of that. Wouldn't mind actually rebuilding that deck again with this guy in it.
Did you have it built at one point?
I had it, but it was Spellslinger, and it would either win really fast or fall flat on his head. If you killed Shuyun like 3 times, that was it, basically.
Yeah.
So, next card.
All right. Shall we move on to the next one?
Two brains. Newsgraph Mob.
It's yours to read, Igor.
Yeah, Newsgraph Mob. 4 and black for a 0/0. That doesn't pass the vanilla test.
No.
They enter the battlefield with 5 +1/+1 counters on it. Okay, now it's getting better. Whenever a player casts a spell, remove a +1/+1 counter from him. And if you do, put a 2/2 black zombie creature token onto the battlefield. That's kind of okay because they make a mob. They make 10 power out of... 6 mana.
Yeah, for 6, that's really pretty good. And even if you're not trying to get the most out of it, you still... It's whenever a player casts a spell. I was going to say you kind of have your choice if you just want to have a 5/5 zombie battering ram. But regardless, you know, either way, if they're casting a spell...
Yeah, even if it's a removal spell, okay, we got a zombie.
Yeah, this card is pure card advantage.
Plus, you're playing zombie, so you're most likely going to get this guy back from the graveyard anyways.
Right.
You might as well chain spells and get him back again. And when he's at, one counter, you could sacrifice him to Grimgrin or something like that and then bring him back next turn.
Right, exactly. I think this is probably one of the cards that everyone who was like, you guys didn't really hook us up with the zombie tribal that we were hoping
for
in Shadows. This is... at least part of an answer to that.
Yeah, this is a nice bone to throw to people.
Yes. Yeah, so good card, would play.
Yeah. So next card is yours, and it's really not that thing.
Assembled Alphas. 5 generic and a red for a 5/5 wolf. Whenever Assembled Alphas blocks or becomes blocked by a creature, Assembled Alphas deals 3 damage to that creature and 3 damage to that creature's controller.
I mean, this is obviously a limited card, and it'll be so good in limited.
Oh, man, in limited, it's going to be very good.
You kill the guy, and you kill another guy.
Yeah, I think...
I mean, you kill the guy, and then you kill the player.
I knew what you meant. But, you know what I'm trying to figure out with this? So, rules question.
Yeah?
So he gets blocked.
Yeah.
But the 3 damage is happening before...
Mm-hmm.
Before damage, right? So does he effectively have, like, another 3 damage for a strike? Is that how that works?
He gets blocked, he deals the 2 damage to something.
Right, before it before damage to him.
Yeah, and then regular damage happens.
Oh, it does still happen.
It's actually, it goes before first strike.
Okay.
Because it's before deal damage step.
Oh, so then it is. It's almost...
Yeah.
So they're never dealing the damage to him.
If they're 3 toughness and lower, no.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, and if he has that touch, nobody's actually.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh my god, so. Even if they block with like 16 dudes, does it trigger multiple times or just once? No, I think it's multiple times.
Yeah, but it says becomes blocked by a creature. Yeah, so holy smokes.
Okay, now I'm actually kind of more in favor for this card.
Well, assuming they would do that to themselves.
I mean, you just put death touch to him, and let's say Basil's color. Okay, you're either getting 5 to the face, and I'm getting 5 life, or you're taking 3 to the face and getting your dude killed.
Not bad options.
Yeah, and if you pair it with Ulrich of the Carlton Horde, that might be actually fun. He gives this guy +4/+4 till the end of turn, and then lifelink and death touch.
See, Wizards wasn't trying to screw us all over with Ulrich. They knew what they were doing.
I mean, that's a legendary creature, and it's a werewolf. I don't see what you're talking about.
Ah, dude. It's just... I know you guys went over this last week. Yep. It's just so close, yet so far.
If they just put... on the other side, let's say, if they put Immerwolf's ability, that would be it. You know, other creatures can't... other werewolves can't transform. That would be it.
Even like I think Nixia said last week, like if it just put a wolf token, it just give us more. But I don't know, we're greedy bastards, I guess.
This is a lot for standard, actually, Ulrich. Now the side tangent. This is a lot for standard. He does a lot of things.
That is true. But you and I know that the reason they made this was not for standard. They made this for us.
Yeah,
or
but
at least they
to,
thought they
it
were.
It has to be playable in standard and not too broken.
That is true, yeah, that always, and limited, that always ultimately has to be their goal.
I mean, in limited, if you get this, you're winning, most
yeah,
likely.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But it's always that way with the bombs in limited.
Yeah.
So, I'm surprised how much we actually talked about assembled alphas.
Yeah, wow, we really, really went there with that one, huh?
I'm actually liking this more than previous 3 cards.
Yeah, you know what, I don't think either of us thought it was bad, it was just kind of meh. But
yeah,
it's got its uses.
I would like kind of put it in the Crash fight deck I'm going to assemble after this season. Because I want to have a Crash fight deck just to fight with everything.
Yep.
PU
this
Immortals.
Will do it.
So next card, I'm reading it, right?
Yes, sir.
Ulvenwald Observer. For 4 and green, he's a 6/6. He's a 3-folk. Whenever a creature you control with toughness 4 or greater dies, draw a card. All you need.
I love this thing.
Yep.
Doran is one of my favorite cards, very much on the short list of commander decks to build, and this just auto-include.
Yep. I mean, all green decks like it.
Oh, yeah.
Unless you're playing elves or something like that, you like big dudes in green, and this is really good.
And who doesn't love drawing cards?
I mean, even if you kiki-jiki something big, and then it dies at the end of the turn.
Yeah.
So this combos with actually creatures, with... toughness 4 here.
And let's not discount, too. I mean, a 6/6 for 6
yep.
is not anything to write home about, but this is a very relevant ability on a very durable body, and you put that all together, and this is just a very solid card for EDH.
Mm-hmm. It won't be too expensive, so you'll be able to get it for all your green decks, so that's a good thing.
Buy them all.
Yeah. It's like with Command Towers, just buy them all. You'll need them. Next card we already read.
All right, should we move on to the next one?
Yep.
And then...
You mean ending the trilogy, you mean?
Yes, this is it. This is the Return of the King.
Read it, it's your turn.
So, we have Docent of Perfection. It is a 5/4 for 3 generic, 2 blue. insect horror. It has flying. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, put a 1/1 blue wizard creature token onto the battlefield. Then, if you control three or more wizards, transform Docent of Perfection. Now, when you flip it, it becomes Final Iteration. Oh my god.
Yep.
What is going on?
What?
Apparently, Mythic Spoiler just gave me Fireware.
What? Shouldn't do that.
That was mad weird.
Should I keep on reading the card or what?
Yeah, why don't you pick up while I just get back on Mythic Spoiler and give myself more freaking spyware.
So
okay, go ahead.
Yeah, it's a creature, Eldrazi Insect. It's a 6/5, so it's a really beefy dude.
Yes.
Flying. Wizards you control get +2/+1 and have flying. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, put a 1/1 blue human wizard creature token onto the battlefield. Do you see what's happening here? He's making Delvers. There are 3/2s with flying that are wizards.
Just when you thought that one Delver wasn't enough.
Yep. And the flavor text is perfect. The time has come for him to share his findings. You know what he's doing? He's getting peer-reviewed in journals. Finally, he's appreciated as a scientist.
Deck that I like this in? Definitely a zombie.
Yep, definitely a zombie.
I mean, just super good. Also plays really nicely with Void Mage Prodigy.
Mm-hmm.
If you just like saying no to people, that is not such a bad combo.
Yep. And I mean, it also combines really well with Young Pyromancer. Whenever I cast a spell, I get a 1/1 dude, a 3/2 dude, and a 1/1 dude.
Yep.
That's really nice. So yeah, all those Spellslinger decks we were talking about, they also like this card. You'll be playing a lot of wizards in your Spellslinger decks because they're really good. So this will just make them that much better.
Oh yeah.
Like, whoa. I'm in love with this card.
Yeah, this... Oh man, you can... Dare I say you could almost any format too. Maybe not Legacy, but it would be pushing the curve in Modern.
By the way, take a look at the... A chat in Skype.
Okay.
This just got spoiled. I think we have to talk about it. Somebody released the Kraken, I mean Octopus.
Uh-oh, why isn't it showing up? Maybe this
So,
one.
I'll read it until you open it. Elder Deep Fiend for 8 mana. 8 generic mana. Creature Eldrazi Octopus. It's a 5/6. It has Flash. It has Emerge 5 and a blue. Now we can finally talk about what Emerge is. You may cast this spell by sacrificing a creature and paying the Emerge cost reduced by that creature's converted mana cost. When you cast Elder Deep Fiend, tap up to 4 target permanents.
Oh, wow.
And the art is just some Eldrazi octopus horror thing murdering the living crap out of a lot of fishermen.
Yeah, the art is absurd.
Its mouth is like the vagina dentata.
Ugh.
Just look at it.
I don't want to anymore.
Haha. And how I ruined the Purloys for you.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm probably going to get this as my freaking promo.
Oh, my God. Well, send it my way. I always want more disgusting things in my life.
To be honest, though, I would not be mad if this was my promo.
No.
This is wild. I don't know how often Emerge is going to be relevant, though.
Depending on your deck. If you're playing green, blues X, like something with a lot of tokens like green, you could. Or a lot of dudes, actually.
Yeah, true.
You just pick up some of the dudes you actually already... Like something like Yavimaya Elder or something like that. Pick him up. Yeah.
Would it... Yeah, I don't... It wouldn't work with tokens, though.
No. I mean, it would, but you would get reduced by 0.
Right, true.
That's not your goal.
No.
Yeah. There's nothing else to say about it. It's just... I come into play and tap things.
Yeah.
Not that exciting, but it's good.
Yeah.
If you get it as a... In the pre-release or limited, you're going to be winning a couple of games because of that.
Oh, yeah. So, just a few.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a good player. So. What's the next interesting card?
We'll skip the uncommon and we'll go to this one because this one is really cool, I think.
Yep.
Hanwear Garrison. 2 generic, 1 red for a 2/3 human soldier. Whenever Hanwear Garrison attacks, put 2 1/1 red human creature tokens onto the battlefield, tapped and attacking.
Read the flavor text, please.
Ah, so glad you said that. Probably my favorite flavor text, maybe of all time, in context.
Mm-hmm.
We're ready for anything.
About, I mean, there are the battlemen standing and waiting for something to attack their walls. Maybe you should turn back. Just, you know, maybe. Because they meld with something. With what do they meld with?
They meld with Handware Battlement, which is a land, taps for colorless, or you can tap it and pay a red. Target creature gains haste until end of turn.
That's already good. That's already...
Yeah, that's actually very good. Or you could pay 3 generic and 2 red and tap it. And if you both own and control Handware Battlements and a creature named Handware Garrison, exile them and meld them into Handware the Writhing Township.
And we already talked about that one. Now we know what it transforms from.
It's just the grown-up version of Handware Garrison.
Yep, but really angry.
Oh yeah, like the really pissed off, disappointed in its kid.
And really gooey, actually.
Very, very gooey.
I mean, you know what's the problem with the battlements?
What's that?
When something that corrupts you comes from the inside. It's even bigger problem when something giant in the sky comes and corrupts your entire city. Literally.
Yes.
Yeah.
What do you think about Handware Garrison in maybe a deck that you like to play?
Doesn't fit my style. If you play Token Zalesha? Yeah, sure.
Yep.
I'm playing more of that and taxes, so that doesn't hate on anything, and I want to hate
right.
it. But true. If you're playing Token Zalesha, sure. It's kind of a problem that it's when it attacks, so when you get it back with Alesha, you won't be getting anything for the first time. Mm-hmm. But it's not bad to have 1/1s that and attacking.
Yeah, not bad.
Especially if you have Qatar's Crusaders and stuff like that. Suddenly those guys become much bigger. I'm actually much more interested in the land in Alesha. I wouldn't mind having that just because of the haste giving.
Yeah, I see this. I think all kinds of decks with Rednet are going to be playing this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are going to be times where you just need to get in for damage.
Yep. Or use an ability or something like that.
Exactly. Yes. Very true.
I mean, with the three we've spoken about earlier.
Yep. Yeah, so I would get these while they're cheap, folks, mm-hmm. because I think everyone and their mother is going to have their eye on this card.
Yep. I'm already looking to what to replace for that in Alesha. I think we exhausted this one, and we should probably move on to something interesting. Now, we finally have the proper art for the new Talia. Which do you prefer more, the promo version or this one?
I think I like this one better.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong, I would not be mad if... The art that we got was the one that was originally spoiled, but man, I like this one.
Yeah.
The actual art.
Here she's prepared for battle and everything, so you see that she's come at me, bro.
Yeah.
And she like, hates so much.
What a babe, man.
Mm-hmm. Who would have thunk?
Who would have thunk?
I mean, after that WPM promo, we all would have thunk, but I'm so glad I bought that off Nyxia. I'm really glad. It looks so beautiful when you play it. Just like. And then somebody kills it, and you're like, aww.
I always say, looking good is half the battle. if your stuff's shinier than the other guy, you're already a turn ahead.
Yep. But the next actually interesting thing is, I think, Talia's Lancers.
Yes. Do you want to read that one?
Yep. This will be a staple in EDH, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
For 3 white-white, it's a 4/4, so already it's pretty good. First strike, they're human knights, by the way, so for your knight decks... Whenever Talia's Lancers enter the battlefield, you may search your library for a legendary card, reveal it, put it in your hand, and shuffle your library. Let the points of our lances lead the way. That's a really simple way to live. But yeah, you just flicker them turn after turn after turn.
Exactly. Time of need on a stick.
Yep. And then you play them in Captain Sisse.
And First Strike. First Strike is good on a 4/4.
That's most likely just going
nice
to be
when you. Right, exactly. It's always nice when you have something that's got a great ability, and then it just has something like First Strike that just is enough to put it over the edge.
Yeah. This will be played so much in EDH.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You just load your deck with legendaries and you're good. Either Gaddock Teak Hate Bears likes this, Captain Sisse like this. Mm. Basically anything with white in it that likes to play legendary dudes. Also, Gisela and Bruna are legendary. Just saying.
Very true. That probably is not an accident.
Mm-hmm. So this is a great card. Really simple, but really straightforward. Does its job exceptionally well.
Yeah, I would play this in most most any creature-based white deck, yeah, because your chances are you're going to have enough legendaries in there.
Yeah, if you have enough good legends, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to talk about the Curious Homunculus next, because he's fun.
Oh, yeah, super good.
The flip side is me when I read the Twilight books. Just saying. I think it's your turn, if you want to.
So, it is for one generic and a blue. It's a 1-1 creature homunculus.
I love those. I just love homunculus.
Oh, they are the backbone of all magic creatures. you can tap it for a colorless and spend this mana only to cast an instant or sorcery spell. At the beginning of your upkeep, if there are three or more instant and or sorcery cards in your graveyard, transform Curious Homunculus. Curious Homunculus. That's a mouthful. and it becomes Voracious Reader, a.k.a. Igor.
Yay!
At least in the art. it is a Eldrazi Homunculus 3-4 with Prowess, and instant and sorcery spells you cast cost one less to cast.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, man?
Goblin Electromancer got his new best friend. And plus, I like that on the flip side, he's always tapped for that one colorless mana spend on instants and sorceries.
Yep, that's a very good way to look at it.
He's really good in the Spellslinger decks, like you mentioned. This is, I mean, having him and Goblin Electromancer, you could.
Yep, and this, the sweet thing about this is it does something that we haven't seen before, and that's it's a creature with prowess that helps itself get bigger.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because, you know, let's say you're playing pump spells or something like that,
yeah,
and you're able to do more with your mana on your turn, you're just helping them get bigger.
Yeah, even if it's just cantrips.
Yeah.
Ponder Period and Brainstorm, and it's already 6-7, which is kind of scary to think.
Ugh.
Like, damn.
Very good. I would get these in foil, too, because I feel
it's going to look so awesome in foil.
You know a lot about Vintage. Mm. Could this he play in Vintage, or nah?
It's slow, that's the thing. I don't think so. I mean, in what would you play it? Mentor decks, I don't think, want this. Gush decks don't seem to be wanting this. I don't think so, no.
And that's why I don't play Vintage.
Sadly.
That, and I also don't have tens of thousands of dollars, but that's a story for another day.
You know what's funny thing about that? You didn't have to spend that much money. You just play Eldrazi.
Oh?
Yeah. The most money you'll spend in White Eldrazi is for the mana base, basically. You can play it on
top. Is it doing work in Vintage?
Oh my god, it's doing so much work. It's the new boogeyman of the format.
Oh my god.
You can play it powered if you want. You can also play it unpowered.
Really?
Yeah, the only thing you need is Ancient Tombs and things like that.
Well, that works.
Yeah, and Eye of Ugin's and those stuff, and just do the thing. And have Talias. Talias are really important.
Nothing is safe from Eldrazi, even our past.
Yep. And I'm glad that Talia is seeing so much play now in Vintage. Because, I mean, think about what she does. You play her, and you before that you play Thorn of Amethyst. All non-creature spells cost two more to cast. And now your Moxen are 2 mana.
Yep.
Your Black Lotus is 2 mana.
Now, what do you mean now? She wasn't seeing play in Vintage before?
She was, but now she's seeing even more. And she's seeing play in a really tier 1 deck.
Probably.
Yeah.
Does it have anything to do with Lodestorm Golem going out?
Yeah, but she's still also getting played with Lodestorm Golem.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, I would imagine.
So that's a backbreaking couple of turns with those. If you can have, let's say, Misha's Workshop and the Mox, you tap it to play the guy, the Lodestorm Golem. Mm. And then next turn, if you're lucky enough to draw something to get you more mana, if it's a white Mox, then you can play Talia. And that's already, for most decks, that's just brutal.
Not too bad.
Yeah, or you can just Mox and Talia, Black Lotus Talia, Mox, Misha's Workshop, and you have both of them out. That's actually happening more often than you think.
All right, Igor, what else do we have here that was spoiled today? What
do we have that's interesting? I mean, Blessed Alliance, we could talk about just because of the keyword. And you do that because you know I have the dumb with that.
Yeah, but you know what? Give yourself some credit. This is basically just Kicker and Entwine, just with a different name and slightly different.
I mean, they're saving up the design space, I guess.
I get. You know what I was thinking, though? I don't know why they wouldn't just... So maybe we should read what the card does. So Blessed Alliance is an instant for a generic and a white. Escalate 2. and it has pay two generic. Pay this cost for each mode chosen beyond the first. And on Blessed Alliance, you can either target player gains 4 life, untap up to 2 target creatures, or target opponent sacrifices an attacking creature.
Hmm. Would you play this without escalating?
I think I would.
It does. Maybe, it does a lot.
It does. It does a lot.
It's basically a charm.
For 2 mana.
It's a charm, basically.
It is. Especially considering. So you said without escalate, and then you throw escalate in there, and this card just seems a lot more appealing.
Yeah, if they sacrifice 2 dudes or you untap 4 guys, it's really good. And if you have a lot of mana open, actually, on the end of your turn, and then they start attacking next turn, you can do a lot with it. Hmm. I wasn't actually thinking a lot about this card, but now it actually seems really appealing.
And I'm sure they're going to be revealing more escalate stuff, so I wonder how much they're... We only have it in uncommon right now, so once they push it into rare...
And common as well.
The black do we have it in common? Oh, yeah, I see that right over there.
Yeah, okay. But I'm wondering what's the rare one.
That, yeah, exactly. Once they push it into rare, what kind of stuff are you going to be able to do?
I'm just waiting for them to make the next Sphinx's Revelation. I'm just waiting for that. That would be fun for me.
I mean, this is... Concerned. This doesn't let you draw cards, but you can imagine something like Sphinx's Rev.
Also, this isn't in blue.
True.
And I think each color is going to get at least one at each rarity.
Oh, do you think so?
Common and uncommon, I think they will, all colors.
Right.
Because they want to promote this as a thing.
I think in the past they've done some cycles where they've skipped around rarity, but if I had to guess, it's probably not something they do too often anyways.
I mean,
you're probably right. I bet you're right.
That remains to be seen, but I like Escalade now. If it's connected to good effects, then it's good. The Borrowed Malevolence is a black at common. It's an instant for 1 black mana. Escalate 2 and choose 1 or both. Target creature gets +1/+1 until the end of turn. Target creature gets -1/-1 until the end of turn. It's a simple effect, but still.
Yeah, I mean, when you need it, you could say this about any card, but when you need it, it's going to be really good, and you're going to be happy that you're able to escalate.
But in EDH, do you play this?
And
I mean, Tragic Slip is a thing.
This is true.
And that should seem much more played than this one. Also, I'm surprised how often I don't see Tragic Slip in decks. Just a side tangent.
I mean, that's going to be something that you want from time to time, and I guess it's probably a little too reactive for some people.
I mean, if you have Sec Outlets and a lot of gods in your meta, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Plus, Blightsteel Colossus is a bitch.
Ugh.
And then he just slips and he's gone. what's the next card you want to talk about?
Should we go down to the artifacts?
I think there is one blue card we need to talk about.
What do you like? Tell
Unsubstantiate.
Oh, yeah.
For 1 and a blue. A return target spell or creature to its owner's hand. So simple, yet so much. What do you think
about it? It's not remand, but that doesn't make it bad. I mean, especially if you have something like one of your prowess creatures out.
Mm-hmm.
And you have mana available. I mean, you could just get some double prowess action. But I have a simple mind. What are you thinking, Igor?
This gets good as the spells that your opponents are playing. Because you're less playing this to bounce a dude. You're playing it much more to return a spell.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Especially if they spend a lot of mana to tooth and nail something. Nope.
Yeah, I see people using it more for the first mode more than the second.
Yeah, I mean, bouncing a spell is not something you do that much. You have a remand, and you have Venser, the first one. And that's basically it.
Yeah.
But I think that's it from colored cards. Everything else is basically limited stuff. Let's go to colorless stuff.
I think. Okay.
You choose the thing you want to talk about first.
This one was spoiled today. Let's read this bad boy. Soul Separator.
It's silly.
It is an artifact for 3. You can pay 5 and tap it. Sacrifice Soul Separator. Exile target creature card from your graveyard. Put a token onto the battlefield that's a copy of that card, except it's a 1/1. It's a spirit in addition to its other types, and it has flying. Put a black zombie creature token onto the battlefield with power equal to that card's power and toughness, equal to that card's toughness.
This card is bad, but I love it. Because flavor is just oozing out of it.
Yeah, I think I read that wrong, but I think everyone gets the idea. It is just a goofy,
it's fun, silly card. It's
silly.
It's just like Jar of Eyeballs.
Yeah, pretty much. That's actually exactly what I was thinking when it came out. Like, they must have designed this in the same session.
Yeah, it's... You basically separate
I see this being fun with some Enter the Battlefield triggers, though, too, for something you want to bring back. You know, if you're playing a deck with Graveyard Recursion and you just want something else to bring some stuff back and get some card advantage, but...
Kids, Animate Dead is a card. It's really cheap. You should try it.
Yeah, maybe try that before this, but...
Yeah, I mean, I love this, but why does it sacrifice itself?
Oh, man, I know.
I would just put it to be 5 mana to, you know, cast and 5 to tap and do the thing.
Yeah, 5 could potentially be a lot for this, too. It could be.
And... Yeah, just to put it on the safe side.
Yeah,
I mean, I mean, it would be funny to do this on Memorable in your graveyard, honestly.
Oh, my lord.
You get the 1/1 Emrakul and a 13/13 zombie.
Then it only needs to be blocked by one squirrel token.
I kind of want to do that right now. Or even better, to the old Emrakul.
Yes.
It comes into graveyard, the trigger gets on a stack, and then you do this.
Oh my god.
It's a 1/1 with an Alligator 6.
That just wiped your freaking board.
Okay, I'm in love with this card even more.
The other sweet thing about this is, since it's an artifact, can go into anything.
Yeah, and the foil dart is going to be sweet for all you people who are unlucky enough to open it as your pre-release foil. It's going to look so amazing in foil.
Yeah.
Next card, we should talk about the thingy. The Graft Stapler.
Yes.
It's an artifact for 1 generic mana. Equipped creature gets +3/+3, and its equip is 2. That sounds really nice.
Yep.
But it has a catch, because of course. When a equipped creature attacks, it doesn't untap during its controller's next untap step. When it becomes unequipped from a creature, sacrifice it. I guess you just put it on a vigilant creature and off you go.
Yeah, that's really all you're going to want this for, right?
Yeah.
So.
Basically, Rafik of the Many and something that gives them to be vigilant and off you go.
I wouldn't be Enlightened Tutoring for this, but, you know.
What's next on the...
Should we go down to the multicolored?
We can talk a bit about Cryptoid Fragment.
Sure.
It's not an EDH card, it won't be, but still.
Okay.
Cryptoid Fragment enters the battlefield tapped, and it's an artifact for 3 mana. You can tap to add 1 mana of any color to your mana pool. Each player loses 1 life. Woohoo!
Yay.
At the beginning of your upkeep, if each player has 10 or less life, transform Cryptoid Fragment into... Aurora of Emrakul, Flying, Death Touch, and it's the Eldrazi Reflection. I haven't seen that creature type in so long, by the way. It's a 1/4. Whenever he attacks, each opponent loses 3 life. Eh? It's never going to work in EDH.
You know what? It's good to chump... definitely not in EDH, but it's good to chump stuff in the air.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's got Death Touch, so it's really not even chumping. It's
attacking.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you want this more for the second ability.
Just to finish the game really fast.
Yep.
Since you are all at, you know, less than 10 life, so...
True. Keep in mind the other side has mana fixing, too, which, you know...
Yeah, and...
This card does a lot. There's a lot of stuff going on with both sides.
Yeah, if you need some cheap mana fixing and you're really having budget problems, like, really, 15 cents is all you have... This is okay, I guess.
Yeah. This card makes me feel like... Everything that they did with this set was just Robo Rosewater.
Yep.
Like, it's an Eldrazi, Reflection, Death Touch, Lose Life, Attack.
Come into play tapped. Everybody loses life. Stuff. I mean, we should let Robo Rosewater design this if he already didn't. Because Soul Separator looks like something he would do.
This is very true.
Also, Meld looks like something he would do.
You know what I think about Meld?
Hmm?
I feel like...
Yu-Gi-Oh!
Well, that's for sure. Yeah, if you feel like tapping into the heart of the cards, make sure you're playing all the Meld cards.
Yes, but... I've seen your tweet, by the way, about this card is going to spike up, and it's just polymerization from Yu-Gi-Oh.
Yo, listen, buy polymerization. Do not, you're going to regret it if you wait, everybody, especially in foil. Grab those foil polymerizations.
Judge?
The judge is just going to be like, I don't see the problem here.
If it's Nyxia, he'll be, wow, he just walk away. By the way, you know what's the stupidest judge call I ever heard about? Guys were arguing because they didn't know how will they discern who's playing first. One guy wanted to use one die and the other wanted to use another type of die. Judges came, looked at it and said, like, I'm not dealing with this. And just.
I mean, were they five?
I don't know. I mean, everybody in the Magic community is five, so.
This is true. I'm five.
Including us.
Yes.
I can be even lower, so. Anywho, you were speaking before I tangented it.
Oh, I feel like Meld is their first attempt to try out contraptions. I feel like contraptions might have been something like this, and they wanted to see, because they said that Meld is only going to be on six cards, so three sets of cards that can meld. So I feel like they were kind of trying to test it out, and maybe next set we'll be getting contraptions. Who knows? But
I certainly hope so. I would like to see contraptions. I mean, we're going to Kaladesh next, so why not?
Yeah, I think this was the test kitchen for contraptions.
I mean, I still don't think that contraptions are going to happen, but, you know.
Really?
I mean, they said it was a joke, but again, the community's been pressuring them for like 10 years to start.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Mark Rosewater, he seems pretty adamant that he's going to make it happen. And we also thought we were going to get a serious legendary werewolf, and here we are.
I mean, he fought for like over a decade to get poison in.
True.
So he might be able to make contraptions if they actually figured out how do they work.
Yes.
Do we have anything else actually good to talk about?
Maybe
it's this one multicolors card.
There's that last one. Not really an EDH card, but I guess I'll read it anyways. Bloodhall Priest, 2 colorless, 2 generic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Lord forgive me. 2 generic, a black and a red, for a 4/4 vampire cleric. Whenever Bloodhall Priest enters the battlefield or attacks, if you have no cards in hand, Bloodhall Priest deals 2 damage to target creature or player, and it's got madness for 1, a black and a red.
Everything that that forces it to be hellbent is a bit iffy.
Yeah, I think we might have to see what other kind of madness vampire support comes out in this set. It is only Wednesday, so but you know, right now this leaves something to be desired.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely limited players for standard. I have no idea because I actually haven't been paying attention to it lately.
Yeah.
Modern, no.
Everyone in my shop at one point or another has tried, except for me, has tried black-red vampires, and it's just works. Like, you just, like, end up dumping your hand and then just, like, waiting for a top deck, and it's just like, you're not even happy when you're done dumping your hand, so, I don't know, man.
You have better tribes in black-red, like demons.
Yeah.
And if you're going demons, you might as well go Eldrazi with the Rakdos Lord of Riots, so.
There we go, now we're talking.
I had a deck with him, I dissembled it because it was too straightforward and too boring to play.
Sometimes you just want to do other things, man.
I mean, it was fun to drop huge Eldrazi on turn 5. It was really fun to do that. But it gets boring after a while, and Annihilator isn't really a friendly mechanic.
No, yeah, very true.
That's how you lose friends, boys.
That and setting your friend's decks on fire, which what? Sometimes there's not much of a difference.
What? I think this has a backstory.
Listen, man, all I'm saying was he killed my guy first.
They killed my creatures. I killed their controllers, I guess.
And then they burn their fingers as they try to take their fetch lands out of their deck.
Fetch your fetch lands in hell, bastard. That's one way to make sure that everybody's at the same mana level with cards.
Yeah, exactly.
You just burn their stuff.
It's land destruction in its purest form.
Wow. And I thought I was a monster for playing attacks in that deck. This guy actually burns stuff, which I'm not against, mind you.
Hey, listen, it's all... I might be Ormondal J. Simpson, but I am white. I have a sense of justice.
That's racist.
Oh.
By the way,
speaking
of those stuff, just a tangent, did you know that today is heterosexual Pride Day?
I did see that.
I was like, what the hell?
I don't know, man. Some people do anything to get famous on the internet.
Does actually even give a damn about?
I don't know.
Because I know I don't.
Yeah, they've that it, like, honestly, when something like that comes up, I just don't even pay attention. I mean, you can't help but pay attention, but I'm just like, oh, whatever.
Yeah, I was on Twitter today and just looked to the left, heterosexual Pride Day. What? Why? Just why?
Yeah, I mean, especially during, like, it's Pride Month or whatever, it's just, you know, why do you need to just, like, step on people's toes like that? Just calm down.
I mean, you're the majority. You shouldn't actually do this. Only reason people have gay prides is because there's somewhat of an oppressed minority in some lands and they want equal rights.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I don't know. Some people just need a reality check, and
a lot of people.
They probably got it if they use that hashtag, because everyone probably flamed the crap out of them.
Oh, by the way, we got another preview card. I can't actually read it. Wait, I'm going to try. Could you go on Commandering's Twitter?
Yes, I can.
I'm trying to actually see it properly, but I can't. They retweeted it. Oh, no, they tweeted it like 9 minutes ago. Wizards Play Network. Oh, now I see it. Voldaren Pariah. It's for 3 and black. It's a vampire horror. It has flying. 3/3, by the way. Sacrifice 3 other creatures, transform her, and she has madness of black. She becomes the Abolisher of Bloodlines. 6/5 Eldrazi Vampire, flying whenever she transforms into this. Target opponent sacrifices 3 creatures.
Damn.
Yup. That's actually doing something.
I want to bring this up. Yeah, holy crap. The art is wild on this, too.
Yeah.
They just, like...
They went to their local Satanist temple and just looked for inspiration. Goat, check. Million hands, check.
As Nixia pointed out, mushroom shape, check.
Yep. Oh, by the way, I just seen the latest Tales from the Pit by Mark Rosewater. Just scroll downwards. Emrako knew she was going to visit the new world. She cut back on the amount of Zendikar she was eating. She started an exercise/mutation regimen. Then as soon as she arrives in Innistrad, everyone's like, whoa, what's with all the weight loss? I mean, she just lost 2 power and up.
That's it, but we should tell her that it looks like 3.
Yeah, because you don't want to be spanked by those...
No, we do not want to piss her off.
Do you ever want to piss off a female?
No, especially one that's hungry, which she is.
Yeah. By the way, they spoiled a really interesting werewolf. Kessick Prowler for 1 green, 2/1, so it's already good. For 4 and green, transform Kessick Prowler. And it turns into Sinuous Predator, 4/4, and it can't be blocked by more than one creature. But still,
That's cool.
Yeah, you can do it on command. That's nice.
Yeah, that's a new one. We should also point out, I don't know if you already said this, but it's for 1.
Yeah,
green.
That's what I said. 1/1.
That is really good.
That's nice.
I wish that they gave it still a way to flip over, maybe an upkeep-based thing, but still just, like, very solid card.
I don't think it can anymore because Emrakul is the one that caused this.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
It's no longer about the moon and stuff.
You're right. What and else? Do we get anything else?
Nope, that's it from the recent spoilers. Anything else you just randomly want to talk about?
I don't think so. I do want to say thanks for having me on, dude.
This is actually a lot of fun, so if you ever want to just come and chat again, just, you know, you have a number.
You're the man. I love Commander, love this cast, so this is awesome. Thanks, dude.
Yeah, this is fun. It would be much more fun if certain judge didn't have to go on a vacation on the seaside, but...
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Oh, well. Good thing he's doing this week and not one of the others, because we'll have some really good guests. I'm going to let you in on the secret after we finish podcasting, but people have things to be excited for.
Oh, wow, I get secret information?
Yep, if you keep it for yourself, of course.
Oh. I swear on Ormondal.
Well, okay, that's pretty big commitment. Well, anyway, this has been episode 12 of the Elder Dragon Drill podcast. This has been Igor.
And I'm Joe.
And as always, the Emperor protects. Understand this. I don't give a fuck about what y'all talking about. I ain't trying to hear none of that shit. Nigga, I'ma do what I wanna do, when I wanna do it, how I wanna do it. And you better hope I don't do it to you. Now, I don't care what mama got to say. I don't care what grandmama got to say. Nigga, I'm grown. Let me tell you a little something about me. I was born not to
somebody slow it up, roll it up, smoke it up. My own mama can't keep me from looking up. One ear out the other, one man out to smother the neighborhood that left me here without my brother. Fuck you undercovers and you dirty motherfuckers in the hood that still fuck without rubbers. Club hop, bar hop, car shop, nail shop, to the mall, spend it all, why the hell not? What bills, what rent, don't know what's spent. Why you care, do you work for the government? Fuck it, homie, I'ma laugh now, cry later. Get your paper, we can laugh now, cry later. All you players, you can laugh now, cry later. Investigators let you laugh now, cry later. See, I'm a product of this urban decay. A nigga dying for tomorrow, but live for today. A nigga lie, still involved, and cheating's okay. Don't you tell these motherfuckers that my name is O'Shea. Cause I'ma fuck up my baby's credit, let him regret it. 7 months old, he's already got a jail record. I'm the one to blame, put it in my mama's name. She's a drama queen, but I got the bling bling. I need the watch and the bracelet and the earrings. I need you all to show up at my hearings. Tell the judge I'm a nice nigga, good nigga. And I'ma play the sad face when he look nigga. Fuck it, homie, I'ma laugh now, cry later. Get your paper, we can laugh now, cry later. All you players, you can laugh now, cry later. Investigators let you laugh now, cry later. It's fucked up that y'all won't accept my calls. Tell mama, at least she can send some draws. These walls make y'all forget about me. I'm coming home in 2033. But that's irrelevant, did you get the mail I sent? What I tell her, bitch, you better stay celibate. She start lying to me, tell me who she ain't fucking. Never tell me that my homeboys ain't nothing. Bun in the oven, it belong to my cousin. Got the nerve to tell me that you really love him. I'm a killer ass when a nigga make parole. Hit her with my cane cause a nigga grand old. Fuck it, homie, I'ma laugh now, cry later. Get your paper, we can laugh now, cry later. All you players, you can laugh now, cry later. Investigators, let you laugh now, cry later. Man, it ain't right, man. You know, y'all ain't doing me right, man. I'm nigga trying to do right, man. You know, I'm trying to change my life, man. You know, I done found the Lord while I'm in here. You know, I'm trying to do right now. I mean, you know, I'm sorry for everything that I...